Castle Podcast, episode 19 with Paul and Barry.
Hello, hello, hello. And today's episode is called For the Love of Money.
So we're talking about Dogs of War, obviously.
Dogs of War.
Because is that all they care about, money?
That is the main, the motivating factor, yeah.
Okay, I've got something to say about that.
Go on then.
No, when we talk about the fluff and stuff, Dogs of War.
Yeah.
Firstly, off the bat, thanks to KR for sponsoring the show. We won't talk a lot about KR each week because it'll get boring.
Yes.
But they're very good and they sponsor the show and they sponsor the events.
Yes, and if you come to our events that we're running, it's KR's backing them, so there's KR prizes to be won.
As well as other stuff. Mm-hmm. Good stuff. What have you been doing, Paul? What's been happening in Paul land this week?
Okay.
Or this week, because we're recording on a Thursday? Tuesday?
Tuesday the 10th in the morning.
So the last time we recorded was at the Triwiz, so that's about 10 days ago.
Yes, since the Triwiz. Well, okay. Games-wise, I've had a game of Dogs of War, Warmaster against Mavs, Tomb Kings, which is good. Yeah, played that yesterday, and I came away with a win there, which is good, because a Nav tends to play, lists that we don't set way to see. Like, he used Sphinx and Bone Giants and stuff.
Two of each?
Two of each, and
jeez, that's a lot of stuff.
It is, and his breakpoint was only 11 when it's Tomb Kings, so you'd expect it to be higher than that, because skeletons can die quite easily. I came away with a win. It was a close game, but I came away with a win there.
And the artillery?
Yeah, he had everything. Some of everything.
Right, so he really didn't have much.
No, not much at the core.
What about flyers?
Had a unit of carrion,
right,
and four units of chariots. No cavalry.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was interesting, fun game to play. And also, I've been away quite a bit with work, so I've been away shooting with the army on a army competition.
Shooting with the army medics, yeah?
Army medics,
You might have to put them out of their misery.
Exactly. So you could say the target should be quite close for us. And obviously, it's pistol only for, execution. Misery. But it was all good.
How did you get on?
Well, it was 102 Logistics Brigade, six teams. I was the captain of our team, and we came second.
So it was an internal logistics competition.
Okay, so, no. Basically, army's made up, there's the army, then it breaks down into divisions, and then further down into brigades. So this was a 102 Logistics Brigade, competition. So of the brigade makeup, regiments, one of our, and we're one of them.
Right.
So bigger than that is a divisional competition, and bigger than that would be the army.
So is it small, medium, or large? That would have done for me.
For a shooting competition?
Yeah.
Well, there were six teams.
Small?
No.
Medium?
In fact, it was the same amount as the regulars were done. So, average.
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 Regular.
Mm-hmm.
Good. And you came second.
We did. So that was good. I mean, it was a bit further away because it's up north in Catterick, which is a good five hours drive from here. And it was a bit more effort than I would have wanted to give. But for once, up there, the weather was really nice. And to come away with a prize, what was nice was that the directing staff didn't shout at us at all. It was very grown-uply done, which was great. Made it fun, which it should be fun. Yeah.
Well,
but I think but that's my time with the army maxed up, because the other two competitions I'm not available for, because I go away to America in June with the army on this exchange program, and then once I've done that, that'll be my commitment to the reserves done already. Good. Yeah, which is good. So I'll have more free time on my hands from July onwards, which is Mark III of War Machine.
Yeah, that'll be fun. Mark III of War Machine. Well done then. Mm-hmm. They always do well. Privateer Press.
Yes.
I mean, none of their stuff's particularly cheap. So if you want to bellyache about wargaming on the cheap, that's probably not the place to go. Privateer Press.
No, I mean, because it's no cheaper than GW stuff.
No, and they're always tricky stuff.
A Gargantuan or Colossal is a lot of money.
Yeah, $130, so about £80.
Yeah, and I'm playing this weekend in the Welsh Masters, which is one of the last Mark II events. To be honest, I'm not too bothered by the games now, because it kind of seems like a waste of time where you wait.
You're still going for best merc.
Yeah, because I've got much more chance of that, and I've got to finish painting a few mercs, models, including a galleon. And it's like, you look at those things, and they're so much bigger than anything else in the game. It's like, if this was any realism at all in this game, these things wouldn't be touched, would they?
It's funny how you're quite forgiving of those Colossals, but disparaging of the 40k.
Yeah, it is, and you're right.
It's like a Titan.
Yeah, it is.
It's probably bigger than a Titan, scale-wise.
Yeah, it's like you look at it and it's like there's no way anything else in this game system could touch a Colossal because it's just it would just step tread on them.
Yeah.
You know, just kick them over. Like, there you go, I've won.
Well, I think it's because the game rules kind of, they look big, but they're easy to put down, generally.
Yes, exactly. They're not, and that is the only worry I would have with these Mark III spoilers coming out, which all seem quite good. The only worry I would have with the increased Warjack battlegroup points, they make it so you just take one Colossal and that's it.
Yeah, free Colossal.
Yeah, so I hope that isn't the case, but we can only wait and see there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Also, something I will add before I hand it back to you is that I was asked to go down on to 40K a Friday night that I was free to go watch some Ninth Age games because for War Fantasy. Because then I could be the spare player for a friend who runs an event. And I did. I went down. So I used to play 8th Ed, or Old Hammer as it's called now. And 9th Age is now confirmed as a, this is the rule, what they're going to go for and keep it still for at least 6 months. And to be honest, I thought that, well, I know how to play 8th, and 9th is pretty similar. So you could bluff your way through a game of 9th. And it's good. I mean, like, it's a fan-made version of 8th edition, so they've addressed a lot of the problems and fixed them, and or addressed them better.
Right.
But ultimately, what looking at this, I just rather play Warmaster.
Yeah.
You know, like that's ultimately. I mean, sad as that's simple. The fact is, just like it was. Okay, so I went there with a purpose to look. So could I be the spare player if I borrowed an army? Yes, I can, and yes, I could.
Right.
But I'm not interested in playing it over Warmaster because Warmaster's better.
Yeah. Well, it is
to me. Warmaster is better.
So, with that Ninth Age, and with Age of Sigmar, this...
Yeah, we've mentioned that as well.
Elenhammer points
right.
Crosses.
Have we mentioned that yet? We haven't mentioned that yet.
But as they spew out new models, like 3,000 a week...
Well, this new game that they've just done, the Age of Sigmar Warmer Quest... Is that really Warmer Quest? They've got 50 new models in there.
50? Yep. For Warhammer? What, 50 new without
new casts? New casts. Yeah, new, not models they produced before. Okay, one's a Stormcast Eternal, whatever that is. But they haven't done Sigmar that sculpt really before. Yeah, like, so they are 50 new models.
But it looks nice. So we're talking about that, what's it called now? Age of Sigmar
Silver
Quest.
Tower.
Age of Sigmar Quest.
Yeah, the thing is I'm a big fan of Warmer Quest. I mean, if you play it properly, and not the intro game that was in the box, and not the role-playing version of it, because it's not, you might as well play a role-playing game. So you play the game properly. It is one of the most difficult games.
Yeah.
Not to play, is in learning.
To win, to do anything.
To do well in, it is nails. Like, if your band of mooks of level one characters go into a dungeon, they ain't coming out. Like, you might make two rooms, and then you better run away quickly to go, like, try and get something to get through the next one. Because it's really harsh. And, like, because it all, the monsters act as automatics in it. So if you do have a GM, it just helps to speed things up. But they are better than you, the monsters turning up.
Right.
And they just take you down. And yeah, it's hilariously how, I mean, like in every, like when you, even when you finish the quest, you've got to get from the dungeon to this town. And you roll bad results, you're dead. You know,
like,
on the walk back. You get into the city where you need to go to your elf quarter or whatever. Oh, if you get bad results, you're dead. Like, you know, and it's like, how does anyone get to old age in this
well,
place? It's like, oh, you're there a week. Oh, well, a plague happened and you're dead. You know, like, yeah.
So I feel like a bit of a broken record when I talk about GW stuff, that the model quality is now just incredible. It's unparalleled.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think...
But the actual IP now leaves me cold. I'm just not interested.
Yeah, I mean, we've both said this before we went to record, is that this brand new off the press, so not released in 21st of May or something, is this Age of Sigmar Warmer Quest game. It was using that title. Now, if that wasn't Age of Sigmar, I'd be getting that. I would be getting that.
Yeah, even right. £100 or whatever it is.
But you get a discount.
Yeah, of course you do, but the retail's
but yeah, but when there's 50 models in it, you're going to... That's talking, like, at most £2 a
yeah.
model, isn't it?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I would have bought that, but I'm not interested if it's Age of Sigmar. To me now, that is just another board game, like, that I don't know anything
yeah,
about.
It's like it's almost like how I view 40K.
Yeah.
It was a good game when I was a kid, but I'm not interested.
Yeah.
It just, the IP leaves me cold. It's
yeah,
like,
exactly, because it doesn't have any concept. Because in Warhammer Quest, your characters were going to get money, trying to get better, and money was the overrating factor. That was the thing. But is there money in warmer in Age of Sigmar? In Bubble Planet X1, 2, or whenever they're on? And it's like, well, why are they here? What are they doing it for? Why are they interested? You know, like, yeah, exactly. It's like,
so just flipping back quickly to the Ninth Age, what are they doing about Age of Sigmar releases?
I imagine, if they bring out an Age of Sigmar...
Like the Flying Dwarfs, for example.
Well,
what do you do? You have to
leave them out. But if I think what will happen, and they've fixed the game now for 6 months at least. If I guess Age of Sigmar brought out some interesting fantasy models which people would want to use, and
they could, but
they would simply use them as alternatives. Right. So like that orc, the new orc stuff. There's an orc on a wyvern.
Right.
And it's like, well, you could just use that as an orc on a wyvern in fantasy. Put it on an appropriate size base. But if they brought out some...
So orcs survive just because they're everywhere? And it
spelled differently, orcs. Orcs.
Orcs, yeah. Because the universe is full of orcs.
Yeah. So, I imagine that's how they'll do it. But if they decide they want to do a brand new year, and they have done some brand new years, like I know in Ninth Age, a dwarf army, for example, has like a steam golem or something. So they have brought in some new things. I guess they've created themselves. The difference is this group of people who are creating Ninth Age are a group of players. They're not a business.
Yeah.
They can't suffer a cease and desist from GW. That's why you haven't got named characters.
Yeah.
That's why you can't have the things called the actual... They can't have high elves called high elves.
Yeah.
Because they'll just get smashed by...
Well, they probably could because they're now abandoning it.
Well, I don't know, but it's probably... As a group of people, it's probably easier for them just to not even have that on the table, is it?
That's probably true.
So everything in it, in Ninth Age, has got an alternative name. You know, because it has to. That's where we're at with this.
We'll have to see how it develops. Especially, I'm especially interested that GW are now putting the comping.
Well, this is
basically a podcast and his friends tour. It's like, good luck with this.
I know, this is just open to it. Basically, okay, so those who don't know, Age of Sigmar didn't have any point system. That was its most fundamental problem, is it had no way of balancing the game at all. You know, like, and in fact, it actively encouraged you really not to.
Don't bother with balance.
So, anyway...
In fact, the funniest thing about the tournament they had recently is because if the game is going too well one-sided, so if I was drubbing you, Paul, then basically just let Paul bring some more stuff up. To make a bit of a better game. So, yeah, come on, Paul. Bring some more.
So we're playing chess and you've taken my queen. Oh, I have another queen.
I have two queens.
That's fair. This queen's black and white. Basically, that was the biggest problem. So, an organised play, it's a joke, Age of Sigmar. Now, the community speaking about, like, it needs something, and independent tournaments had run this kind of South Coast GT-style comp Dan Heelan had created. But it's open to... I mean, it's openly flawed, because it's not play-tested the way a comp system has to be.
It can't be. Because they release stuff every week.
And I know that South Coast GT didn't have rules for like summoning. Basically, Age of Sigmar, you could endlessly summon stuff. So this Lord of Change could summon a Lord of Change. You could summon a Lord of Change. You could and repeat. You know, like Nagash could summon Nagash.
Well, why would you bother summoning him? Bring him in the first place. There's no rules of what you can bring.
It's like, so there's no cap on it. Now, obviously, this comp system, I believe, just said you couldn't summon stuff. So there's no room for undead armies, there's no room for demon armies, lizardman armies, because they summon stuff, they're not called lizards anymore, like Sephiroth or something. So it's like, it's not, basically, to comp a game system with so many contradicting issues will take years. And
that's if it stopped moving.
Yeah, and it's stopped moving.
That's if they freeze it now.
Which it hasn't. So they, I mean, obviously your GW, you're like, no one's playing in our events. Why is that? Well, because no one can be bought. Like, it's ridiculous. Oh, well, what about the independent scene? Well, they're having some success with this. Let's just take their ideas.
Well, and that's like, all they asked nicely.
Yeah, they asked, I mean, basically they've gone to bed with 3 podcasts. And it's like, at least... these podcasts should now admit that they always were in bed with them. But, like, why do your own R&D? Why would you do it? Why should you do it?
Yeah, it was interesting. I found it interesting not to slag them off, because I quite like Heelan Hammer. It's very professional outfit.
It's a
benchmark. But it's interesting that they chose this year to start going to America and stuff. Whereas they haven't been before. But this year, on the back of Age of Sigmar, suddenly... Yeah, because I'm not sure my wife would put up with me taking a week off and spending $2,000 to go to America to promote a board game or a war game or
no.
whatever.
No,
exactly. So anyway, I find that amusing. Anyway, so is that you finished now, Paul? Can I talk about me?
Yeah, go on. Yes,
me.
You asked, so I told you. Oh, I'm a busy guy. I've got lots to do.
So I played a game against Phil, Bretonian Phil.
Mm.
Yeah, and I used my Lisbon, like tournament Lisbon list, and I won 5-0. Because he didn't commit any of his chaff, which was really strange.
Lesson for the new players, fight.
Fight with your chaff. So what I did, I set up my Lisbon infantry defensively in hills and forests and such. And Phil set up opposite them with all his chaff. But he was afraid of committing them. Because obviously he's going to have to commit into my defended stuff. And it's going to cost him his stuff. But his stuff, it's worth nothing. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So what that allowed me to do, because he didn't have any artillery, it allowed the time for me to move my Saurus cavalry and flyers round the side and catch his knights. And that's what happened.
Yeah.
So the game was relatively quick. It was only about an hour and it was 5-0.
Smash, smash.
Because I didn't bother taking on any of the stuff in the middle because it's not going to do me any favours. It's just going to cost me resources. So unless he's going to attack me, I'm not going to attack you.
Yeah.
But that was that.
Yeah.
So that was a quick game. We got a delivery from Polar Fox.
Hooray!
So both myself and Paul ordered the, I can't remember, what grand flying gift pack or something. It was like the bigger pack. So you got a general on a fighting chicken.
Like a death chicken.
Death chicken. We got a couple of wizards.
So it's a nice pack because you could have two wizards in a Bretonian army, and you've got two damsels.
Called wizards or damsels. Damsels.
Yeah, pretty ladies.
So you got that. Basically, you buy the characters, you get the Pegasus Knights 3.
Why can't he sell them separately?
I couldn't find out, but there must be a reason. It's probably IP or whatever. But I don't even know if GW made them. Pegasus Knights in like Warhammer.
Yeah. Right, okay.
So you got the hippogriff, you got the two wizards. I could call them wizards, damsels. And he was also very generous. He threw in a Pegasus,
a hero,
hero and a Pegasus.
Yeah, separate.
Which is very cool.
Yeah,
I think that's the one he said he had some issues with the wings of Bell. Yeah. So he's not selling them at the moment, but he managed to get two of them working because we got one each.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Very pretty.
I mean. It's very fantastic. I mean, all you'd need for the characters is you might want one or two knights on foot, well, knights on their own to be characters, might you?
Yeah, and I'd probably, even though this guy looks a beast, I'd probably be very scared of actually using it.
Well, he can only be the general.
I know. Yeah. The death chicken is the general, and that scares the willies out of me.
Yeah.
But I guess if you're going to go in with your knights, you've got to win that combat anyway.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're going to lose, so maybe chuck him in. And you've got two units of the Pegasus Knights.
Yep.
They look fantastic, and they have, like, clear display
flying bases. If you wanted to do that, so and I'm really tempted. I probably will mount on those flying bases.
I think it maybe ran us to about, I don't know, 50-60 euros between us, so that's about £20 maybe.
Well worth it. I mean, at the moment, I'm keeping my eyes on eBay and bidding on a few things and picking up units where I can, and I cap the bid at £10 a unit. And you can get stuff on eBay for £10 a unit. You won't always get what you want. And if you're willing to go to 15, there's a lot of stuff that's sold as buy it now for 15.
Yeah.
So if you had to have a unit of stuff, if you can't find it some other way, so that's very good prices.
No, exactly. I mean, you couldn't get the two units of Pegasus Knights for £20, and you get all the characters as well.
Right.
So if you are in the market for Pegasus Knights or
Bretonian characters.
Well, you buy the characters, you get the knights for free. So I'd recommend going to Polar Fox and staffing those up.
Yeah,
like we did.
If he makes more stuff, and I hope he does, because his Orc and Goblin range is great, and he's made Tomb King stuff as well.
He has, but I'm a bit too far down the GW Tomb King.
I'm just saying, but like, you could,
Lizardmen, build me some Lizardmen. Well, I don't need that many Lizardmen. I need about 6 units, but yeah, God, they're hard work to get. So well done to you. Well done. We did play the match. That's it. Today's match, Paul.
So, I've been using a lot of Dogs of War games. I was just looking back through my Lannister book of records, and I've had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 games of Dogs of War on the trot.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah. I haven't won half of them. I haven't won that many, but Well, three of them was in the doubles because, well, actually, we only won two of those games because we drew one. I have been playing Dogs of War quite a lot, and now I can record with some authority and put them to bed and move on to my true love, which is Skaven. What's that sound? That rustling? That gnawing? It's a Skaven at the door.
That isn't Skaven at the door. Yeah. So I played Lizardmen, used my tournament Lizardmen list, and I'm going to put this away now until, well, I can't really play it then because I don't have the models. But anyway, so that's going away now.
But we've, you know, in terms of armies, we've got plenty of choice now.
I mean, if you used a Stegodon and some other stuff, you could use it in a tournament. It's just not fun. That's going away.
I had to say, like, our game today, because Barry's stuff, Lizardmen's are painted, and my Dogs of War are, the 1500 points of it is painted, the table is starting to look really good. I started taking photos, not like, this is where we're getting, this is where we've gone from tokens to now.
Well, I'm still using tokens,
But we've gone from tokens to painted armies now. And this is starting to look great. It's worth taking photos of the game because it looks nice. Yeah, now it's like, not rather than this, the opening one to advertise the fact that promote we're doing this. It's actually worth taking pictures now of, because once I've got the Welsh Nationals of War Machine out of the way, I don't have to get anything done for anything. But I will start painting some of the more of the scenery, that kind of stuff. Yeah, it would be great.
Right, so today's match was Dogs of War versus Lizardmen.
Aye.
And as usual, Paul had scouting of 8, I had scouting of 6, and I won the roll, obviously.
Because you always do.
Because should just put nothing in and win the roll. So I set up my flyers, then Paul deployed everything, then I deployed the rest. Yep. Standard procedure. Yep. Although we are now rolling off for table size before we do that.
I don't mind. Well, fair enough. If Jim thinks that's the way it's done, I personally would have thought it would be a thing your scouts would get, wouldn't they?
But I think that's because we're used to playing War Machine, where you roll
Maybe, maybe we assumed that without reading it.
Yeah.
And should I go through my army list?
If you like, sir. It's changed a little bit today, didn't it?
Today I went 4 pikemen, 4 crosswomen, the default options. A unit swordsman because I was left with 45 points. Unit of ogres, 3 units of dwarves. You can get 4 units in the army, but I went as max, so I went for 3. So I went for a real heavy brigade.
Yeah.
1 unit of light cavalry, 2 knights, 2 galloper guns, a birdman, and a collection of characters. One on a death chicken, and a couple of wizards, etc., etc.
And a ring of magic.
Because they've got a movement spell, so I'm using that. I've done one of the few. Like, Dogs of War are one of the few armies where I think where you can build them a few different ways, and I went for, like, let's try a lot of dwarves. And, going forward, if I was to, that would probably be the tournament list I'd offer out. Like, at my event, I'm going to offer several lists, and this will be the Dogs of War one.
But knowing what I know about dwarves, when you had a brigade of 3 dwarves and ogres, I just stay away from it. I'm not going anywhere near that brigade when there's chaff in the middle to be killed.
Mm, yeah, unless, of course, at my event somebody wants to use dwarves and somebody wants to use Dogs of War, then I might have to rebalance it to be not more ogres in the list.
More ogres.
Oh no, unless somebody wants ogres as well.
So it was interesting. I think I'd probably had more knights and less dwarves. Maybe two more knights, two less dwarves.
You could there's scope in the list to build a lot of knights.
I think four.
So you could have more knights. I haven't.
Because they tend to overperform. And again they did today. Okay. As always.
Uh-huh.
So today's match, you went first turn, just shuffled forward.
The tale of this one. So I'm well practiced with Dogs of War now, and I'm quite. And I've got my brigade sorted. Aside from the pikemen, I know their role. And pikemen we'll talk about in the army list over what to do with them. But Barry had a turn 2 amazingness. Mm. We counted, it was 8 orders he passed across the army, and that smashed me. I was left with just after that turn just 1 unit left, basically.
And so that unit could easily have gone.
Yeah, I had my pikemen in the middle, my galloper guns and some infantry on the right of it.
The galloper guns turn to destroy the Saurus. First turn they open up, they generally kill something.
So they did what cannons do.
I was in the wood, he shot me, killed the whole unit in the wood.
Right. Yeah, like it was great. So that happened, and I was like, well, I had to. And I was attacking the thing he had furthest forward. So it wasn't like I attacked something. They were in the wrong place. They shot at the closest Lizardman thing, but when the opponent makes eight orders on the trot, you're suddenly in a fight.
Yeah, well, at least two of them mattered.
True, but it was, I mean...
The rest was just fanning about.
It's like, as I say, the tail of the game is the pikemen got over... Did I expose those guys, the guns for 2-5-4? I don't know. Maybe that was a mistake. I shouldn't have. But if I'm not leading firing with them, then why are they there in the army if they're not firing their guns?
Well, that's the poor point I was talking about. The 40-centimetre range doesn't seem like a problem, but there it is. That's the one.
If that was Empire, I'd have been 20 centimetres further back.
And I can't even get to them because of my crazy lizard commands.
Yes, exactly.
I can't get to them.
So that's okay, and this is something we'll talk about in the Omnis. But essentially, Barry had an amazing second turn, put me right on the back foot.
Yeah, one left.
One left, but I managed to claw some. I managed to end the game. The game ended 11-6 to Barry. No, 10-6 to Barry. So I managed to get. Get back those cavalry units he'd sent forward, and he'd lost two characters as well. It was interesting. Basically, he got my last point off a unit of crossbowmen that I'd run away, but had no one else back on the table edge and no one else to go back to. But I was looking at it as like, how was I going to get four more units without losing any one?
Oh, with that one unit of knights. I think he had one unit of knights.
Knights Panther
that I mocked all the way through the try with. And they ate, I think they might have eaten three or maybe even all four units of my Saurus
Cavalry. They contributed a lot. Yeah, and they didn't lose anything. So anyway, Barry smashed me, basically. He smashed me early on in turn two, and though I managed to claw some points back and would have scored some tournament points off that, it's pretty hard to then not lose anything.
But that's what I've discovered is if you've got some really meaty cavalry, don't put them on a flank, just send them at the middle, and then if you get that, because it was an order on a 9, then a second order on a 7, and... 9-8, and then they just split up. So two went to the cannons in that brigade, two went to the pikemen in that brigade, and at the end of the turn, there wasn't much left.
And this is general tactics for Warmaster. If you've got access to heavy cavalry, which is better than the standard, which is Empire Knights, so Cold One Knights.
I've even used those, though, to be fair. I use my Silver Helms in a similar way. Yeah, just stick them down.
I suppose. But,
I don't use 5 up save cavalry like that.
No, got that. No. So if you've got 4 up save cavalry, ram them down the middle at the enemy.
Yeah, because even the pikemen, which is supposed to be their role, they can't take it. They've got no armor.
No. So that's the debate about pikemen, is what to do with them.
Once that second turn had gone, you did really well to kind of
Fight
your way back.
I was pleased that I managed to...
You took out both my wizards, all my Saurus cavalry, one of the pterodons.
It was going to get very interesting, because you had a turn where you couldn't really order
anything. I couldn't order anything, because I set up... my stuff had outstripped my command.
Your command, and then I was like, I was looking at how can I get the stuff, get crawl it back, and I did some stuff, but it was good. It was a good game. I enjoy it. I mean, that's the thing about Warmaster. Even when I lose, I'm enjoying the game, which is good because I lose more than I win.
but those cavalry charges down the centre are hard to protect against.
Yes, my roles in my brigades, looking at your 4 Saurus Cav, I was like, actually, it should be my dwarves meeting that charge, or maybe my own cavalry with the death chicken in the unit.
Yeah.
You know, like, maybe that's the way to have met it. I didn't, I trusted to the pikemen and see what happens, and they kind of got mullered, but we'll see.
They got mullered. Good for the pikemen.
Yeah.
Right, so, interesting one now, Paul. Who are the dogs of war?
So, fluff for dogs of war. I've actually had to print off some fluff, because, first of all, as is traditional, I ask Barry, what does he think the fluffs are?
I know so many.
I can't really lord it over you because.
Okay, well,
but what do you think?
I like them in that when I used to play against them in probably about 6th edition fantasy, was around that time. Probably earlier than that even.
They had these regiments of renown.
With like a special character in the front, and they were all very flavoursome.
Yeah, great.
But in my mind, I imagine whoever pays the most gets them.
Stood out in my head, they had a unit of pikemen then, it's his old hammer, they had a unit of slayer dwarves.
Pirate dwarves.
Yeah, they had a unit that were like
dark
wearing,
elves
wearing
with repeater crossbows.
Yeah, they definitely had a unit of birdmen.
They had pikemen. Birdmen. The Gallop guns.
Yeah.
They had a lot of flavour.
Yeah.
A lot of flavour.
Yeah.
And in my mind, I always imagined this setup where you'd be fighting with them. They'd be on your side, and then the other side has actually paid them more.
Yeah.
And then halfway through the battle, they just turn around and stab you in the back.
Well, of course they would. They're mercs.
Exactly. Yeah, that's how I imagine them. Just in it for the money. And that's what happened today.
Yeah.
Paul didn't realise that I'd actually paid them more.
Well, okay, so... fluff for Dogs of War, there's not a lot of fluff for Dogs of War. And I've got here from the War Master annual they came out of, what does it say about them? And, you know, it says, unlike other War Master armies, Dogs of War do not come from a particular place, nor comprise a particular race, although men do feature very strongly amongst the number. They're bands of warriors who live by fighting for money and for adventure, but most importantly, money. And
money.
And the War Master list encompasses the most typical units that you'd find in a mercenary army. And if it had to come from anywhere, it says Tilly. Is the land which is meant to be Italy? You know, is the land that,
okay.
If the old world is Europe, it's Italy. You know, like, and that's who the Mercs mostly come from. You know, but you know, it mentions the regiments that are renowned. In the fluff here. So, as I say, like, for once, I don't know a lot about the Dogs of War.
Well, there isn't really a lot to know.
And so I can't really wax on more about that. Wait until the Skaven fluff for that one. Yeah, that'll be an episode itself. You know, like, so not much else to say, really. They're mostly human mercenaries.
Mostly human. Right, so we'll go through the army list now.
Yeah.
The pikemen are the most interesting. So
yes, this is the big debate. The lead with the big debate.
Okay, so pikemen, 3 attacks, 3 hits, 6 of armour. 60 points is a lot for that, isn't it? But
yep.
They've got a minimum of 2, maximum, and they have a crazy long special rule that takes a lot of getting your head round.
Essentially, they are formed as cavalry. So they form to the short edge, which, unlike other infantry, they can be supported by other pikemen to their flanks.
And other stuff.
And other infantry. They can't be supported behind. And so you get the cavalry's a lot of attacks for a low frontage.
Yeah, so they tend to set up on a big long line.
Yes, so you're going to have 4 units, and now, Warmonger, wasn't it, those pikemen of models are from?
Yeah, they're very nice.
They're beautiful models, but this is, every Dogs of War army will have 4 units of these, because you must have 2 per 1,000. But what is their role? You know, what are they meant to do? You know, so, because they're unique, like, no other army has this unit.
Nope.
So this is uniquely Dogs of War. So you want them to form up, like in your 4, and take cavalry charges. Now, they definitely can take cavalry charges of light cav, no problems. But they fall over, like, against proper heavy cav. And they struggle. It will be a 50-50 touch and go against regular knights. As in, a 4-up armour save for 3 attacks and 3 hits.
Well, they're going to be charged you.
Yeah. So that's difficult for them, like, upward. And they cannot take on elite, like, better heavy cav. So your Cold One Knights, Dark Elf and Cold Ones, Lizard Variants, your
big Chaosy stuff.
Chaos Knights, Death on God.
Right, not
Chaos Knights to go straight through them. And like they aren't even there. And it's because they fall down because of their 6-up armor save. They can't get the support that a formed infantry brigade, like a unit of dwarves, would getting 3 support every fight with 4-up armor save. Can take charges, and can grind them slowly down. These pikemen have 1, maybe 2 rounds in them, and then they're all dead because their 6-up armor isn't enough. But they aren't going to have more armor because they've got 2 hands on a 20-foot pole. They've got at most a helmet and a breastplate.
Yeah, see, I see that, and they can't take up defensive positions.
No, they can't. So they can't be on a hill, that kind of thing. As in, they can't get any benefits from it
because they'd be too good.
They'd be definitely too good. You know, I mean. You could. Is that a? That's not a fluff reason, is it? It's the way they form. It's like Alexander. Like in the film at Alexander, there's pike. This is what these pikemen are. These pikes are massive. They're like as I say, 20-foot long.
Yeah.
And so the guys in the 3rd and 4th ranks can actually fight to the fighting rank because their pikes are that long and they're just ramming them into people all the time. So that's why they are fluff wise, as in like in terms of. What are these pikes? But it's just, where do you put them? What do you do with them?
See, game-wise, they would be too good if they were allowed to be defended.
Exactly.
Because they put out too much damage in a short pacing.
Yeah, exactly. You'd never get them off, get them out, because you just lose.
But I think the only way to sensibly use them is against other infantry, because then they're doing a lot of damage on the similar phase.
Yeah. Like, in our doubles game, that doubles event, we had a unit of Blackhawks charge some pikemen, and they just got killed, by the pikemen. Yeah, like they didn't pass the round.
If you think about how they allocate their attacks, they can only allocate maybe they can maybe get 8 attacks maximum against 1 unit.
Yeah.
But sometimes they're only getting four.
Yeah.
Because they're so wide and you're so narrow.
Exactly.
And
so
they're coming back, you're putting
it's
18...
strange that actually their role is actually against other infantry. Rather than cavalry, where you,
and if you get to charge other infantry, that's even better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they are the question of Dogs of War, and if you decide to play Dogs of War, you're just going to be how are you going to use your pikemen? Because I've played now 12 games of them. I would say, their role is actually to fight other infantry rather than cavalry.
When I have cavalry, I look for the pikemen and just got to hit them in the front.
Yeah,
doesn't matter.
Yeah.
As long as you can line them up one on one-ish.
Yeah.
In fact, I put two units against four, and it still won.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So that's them. They're a unique thing for Dogs of War. The next Ed troop is Crossbowmen, with three attacks and one shot, and these are 55 points, minimum two Crossbowmen that are straight in the Empire list. There are some direct ports from the Empire list in the Dogs of War, and this is one of them, Crossbowmen.
Yeah.
You got to have four units.
They are what they are. This is where they're, because you've got four units of those as well.
Yes.
So now already you've got eight units in your army with six up or worse armour.
Yep.
At least these guys can get into terrain, and you tend to do that.
Yeah. My setup for these Dogs of War is I look where can the crosswomen stand.
Just one unit on its own.
Yeah.
In some terrain.
Yeah. In edges of woods, lips of hills, buildings. If you've got any. Yeah, like
they can definitely do a job there, but if they get caught in the open, they're gone.
Yeah, well, they've got no armour.
Yeah, mm-hmm. In the same way as any of those shooters are.
Yeah, I mean, in our doubles events, I got some crosswomen up against walls, didn't I? Which was giving them defended, and they bounced quite a few of attacks actually. You know, because lucky dice meant a lot of misses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, defended's it's a good advantage to anybody, even Skinks defended up.
Yeah.
Something to be feared. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe not feared. So we've got handgunners, you don't play with these. Three attacks, one shooting attack, three hits, no armour obviously, 65 points, maximum of two per thousand, and they've got armour piercing.
I haven't used them. Again, they're a direct port from the Empire list. It's not because I don't want to. It's just that there's so much infantry already.
Well, there's only four units of crossbowmen.
Yeah, it's like, how many more shooters do you need? There's nowhere for them to fire.
And if they get caught, they're still going down as easily as crossbowmen.
If you could have the handgunners instead of crosswomen and pay the points as your core troops, I would do that, because why not? But I just couldn't find a role for them in the battle line. I'm thinking, if I played Empire again, which I intend to do, is I'd try for a lot of missile troops list. You'd have some crosswomen and handgunners in an Empire list. But
I can tell you're getting drawn to wood elves. Just bring all bows.
So next we have swordsmen, who are basically how it is, with three attacks, three hits, and a six-up armour, 45 points, minimum nothing, maximum four. So again, the Dogs of War has tons of entries. You've got swordsmen, which are just how it is, except you don't have to take them. So,
but do you?
I
used one to get
45 points.
Yeah, and you had 45 points free.
Yeah.
And it moved your break up.
Yeah. So that's why I took them.
Okay. Yeah. Ogres, four hits, four attacks. So four attacks, four hits, five up armor, 105 points, maximum one per thousand, and they're ogres.
Cheaper ogres than an ogre list, quite
right. It's true. they got to charge humans, but not their own humans.
Yes, okay.
I don't know why that is.
That'd be a bad rule.
I'm sure they charge the humans if they were really ogres.
Yeah.
No, not these humans. These humans are good.
Those ones in blue are all right. They're not as tasty as the ones in red over there.
Ogres are ogres.
Pretty solid. Right. Yeah.
You take one, maybe you can take two.
Because I like, the fluff of Dogs of War is that variation mixed race army. And I like a unit of ogres around, definitely. Because they can, sometimes you need their hittiness.
Yeah, when you're going to defend it, these are good guys to clear out.
Exactly. So then you have dwarves, which are the dwarf warrior unit from the dwarf list, which is three hits, four armour, and four hits, three attacks, 110 points, minimum nothing, maximum two, so more than the ogres. So you can take four units of dwarves in a Dogs of War army and make a very heavy brigade if you wanted to. And that's where I'd skewed my list after practice. I'd gone for three dwarves and one ogre to make a hard brigade.
Mm-hmm. Just a brigade to avoid, basically.
Yeah. And a brigade.
I think that's the one you stick down the centre.
Yeah,
if
that's
I'm being
the
honest.
One to meet cavalry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we have light cav.
Marauders.
Marauders. Yep. Sorry, infantry. Three attacks, three hits, five up save, 60 points, maximum of 2 per 1,000.
So these are the rules for Chaos Marauders in the Dogs of War Army list.
Or Tile Spearmen or whatever.
There's 7 units of infantry in the Dogs of War Army list.
It's probably too many.
I don't think it needs... It needs 5, but it's 7. There's a lot of choice.
There's a lot of choice full stop in a Dogs of War. Lot more than normal. So Marauders... I like 5-up saves on infantry.
Yeah, again, if you can find... If you've got a spare 60 points, and once you've built your list, then have a unit of Marauders. They're better than the 45 points for it, Swordsmen. Again, you could use any models you want for them. Like, I'm using some great sword models, could be Marauders, or Chaos Marauders themselves could be Marauders. Yeah. Again, there's not much to say, because if you can find the points for them, why not? You could have a brigade of 4 Marauder infantry units.
It's interesting. There is a lot of choice here. There's a lot of ways to build it.
Yeah. So you instead of having a unit of 4 dwarves, you could go for 4 Marauders. You'd save a lot of points. It'd be rough on just over half the points of the dwarves, but saving points elsewhere. I guess try that one time. Like, have Marauders instead of dwarves, and have some more cavalry as well.
Okay, cavalry.
Mm-hmm. So you've got light cav. 3 attacks, 1 shot, 3 hits, and a 6-up armour. And they have rules for firing all round. And they said they're like, in the fluff, it says Empire Pistoliers, Arabian Desert Riders, Hobgoblin Wolf Riders, Kislev Horse Archers. Any of them are what you're thinking about. And they've got a range of 15. So they've got 1 less armour than your Pistoliers from the Empire list. But they do exactly the same. They're just called generic light cav. So... place, you know, they're good at supporting knights, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you took 1 because there's just no room for everything.
No room for everything. Yeah. This is Dogs of War is a list where you cannot have everything you want because you just can't fit it all in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So knights. So these are regular knights. 3 attacks, 3 hits, 4 of armor. They're 110 points, and you've got a maximum of 2, so you could run 4.
So you could have run 4 knights.
I'd run 4.
Yeah. Yeah, that is another way to try it. Try Dogs of War is. And if I had more knights painted, probably I would use them.
Because in every list, you're going to be fighting Boar Boys or Two King's Chariots or Bretonian Knights. Yeah, you've got to have something that's going to be able to deal with that.
Yeah.
And so you need your own knights, generally.
Unique unit here, Galloper Guns, artillery, the only artillery piece they have. So they're cannons.
And they are proper cannons.
At 85 points. So basically, they're cannons with a range of 40 and a move of 20. That's their 2 rules. Is that I've modelled them as Napoleonic scale models. So they're a little like British horse artillery guys. I like Galloper guns. Their movement of 20 is interesting.
It means they can keep up with infantry,
yes.
Which
so
is good.
You can put them in an infantry brigade and they don't slow down, which is great, but obviously your range of 40 is 2 easy moves for cavalry and going to be 3 moves after you've shot something for infantry. So if the enemy's going to put cavalry against them, that 40 centimetres is not good. If they were Empire cannons at range 60... you'd have them at maximum 60 distance, hitting a unit of cavalry, pushing them back, then the cavalry are 3 moves away. So that's the difference there. Their advantages in their speed, and their disadvantages is the enemy's cavalry will catch them.
Yeah, very easily.
Yeah.
So even an orc can catch them on an 8 and a 7.
Yeah.
But a high up, it's a 10 and a 9.
Yeah, it's too easy.
It's too easy. Whereas if they were 60 away, it'd be much harder. Much harder. Because you'd have distance modifiers, third orders.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But they are... you're going to have 2 units of these in a list.
They had 1 superb turn.
Yeah, I mean...
As they will.
Yeah, that showed in this game today is that if they were Empire cannons, they'd have been a lot harder to get killed on return. But... Yeah, as I say, I fired at the unit that Barry had put the most forward in his army. If that was skinks, I'd have shot at skinks.
Yeah.
You know, I'd have happily done that. But they then got caught in the return. So, tricky. Maybe they're not quite as, you know, lead with cannons. Maybe they've come back.
But it's hard. You've got to use them.
Yeah, you've got to use them. Yeah.
And then, but the cavalry, they outrange them. Because cavalry is 60. Yep. 2 orders 60.
2 orders, in you go. Yeah, so you're not going to shove a unit of... You're not going to be at range 40 and shove a unit of knights back 21 centimetres. It's not going to happen. You either wipe them out or you haven't done enough to them.
It's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. So they're very good. They're very thematic to the list, but they're... And also I found that they don't have any protection. Like, Empire and Dwarves have another thing you can bring along
to provide the anti-charge. Yes. So, your Empire, it's your Hellblaster, your Dwarves, it's your Flame Cannon.
And that prevents, or does damage to the charge, and also kind of
makes it costly.
I'm not going to throw in my birds, because my birds are going to get ruined by the Hellblaster.
Or the Flame Cannon.
Or the Flame Cannon.
Mm-hmm. Which has the potential to ruin everything.
But they don't have that protection. No, you have to use Crossbowmen, who cares, to charge them, they're going to die anyway.
Yeah, yeah, they're just more breakpoint lost. So, next entry, Barry?
It's the Monster. I like this guy.
Yeah.
So he's 6 attacks, 1... He had a ranged attack.
He's
a random ranged attack. 4 hits, 5 up armour, 1 per unit. Yeah. It's 120 points, 1 per 1,000, and he is causes terror. And he's like a giant in most respects.
So he's a mini giant. Basically, in the rules it's saying that they're giant elephant things. So I got 2 scale, 10mm scale elephants, put them on one base as my Tusker. But it can really be anything you want it to be. You know, it's Dogs of War.
On the plus side, he can't be dinged up.
No, I mean, he's full effect until he's dead. But it's finding that role for him. He's not got that raw hittiness. Like, a giant can just go in on its own and smash a unit up. He doesn't have that. With only 4 hits and a 5-up armour, he dies to attrition. Mm. It's difficult. It's a weird
one.
Do I want this? Do I not want this? I mean, the Tuskers, can they be brigaded with... they can be brigaded together. So,
you're not going more than one of these.
Well, I'm just saying, like, maybe... I don't know. If you're going to have them, do you have 2 of them and put them together?
I don't know.
Yeah, they can only be brigaded with other Tuskers. It's a weird one. Yeah.
Pass. Yeah. Yes. I'd rather have a unit of knights, I think.
I started out with a unit. I got a Tusker unit to try it out on the table. They haven't made my final version of my tournament list here so far. I don't know. I don't know whether you would really want them or not.
Okay. Who's next?
Birdmen. Infantry. 2 attacks, 1 range shot, 3 hits, 6 up armour. And the rules saying, basically, they're infantry. So you base them as infantry, ranged infantry, but they can fly.
Can they fly?
Well, when you order them, they can fly.
They can glide.
They can glide.
They can't take back off.
They only have it then. So what that means is when they're beaten by something,
anything
can chase them because they're only infantry. They're infantry. And they are the worst flyers in the game.
By a mile.
Their points cost makes you think, maybe they're better than they are, and they're not.
Apart from, the only thing I could think of you using them today was flying them behind my pterodons and shooting.
Yeah.
And hoping to do something. Yeah. Okay. You'd have to hit with all 3, sure.
You're just looking for like a confusion, aren't you? It's like, oh. It's not.
You have to hit with all 3. You've got range 30, so you could stay a reasonable distance away, but they're just awful.
Yeah, they're awful. They can do the things that flyers can do, so they can go and stand behind a combat to catch troops, or they can go in. It's just about in their ability to hunt down war machines on their own. But they're infantry with 2 attacks. They're not monsters, so they charge and have 3 dice each. Monsters would have 4 dice each, and they're based long, so you might not have more than
they're
one.
Like
stand
in. They're like harpies.
Yeah,
they're like really bad harpies.
Yeah.
But they got guns.
They are awful. I mean, I found some Pendragon models, I think they were, of barbarian miniatures, guys with wings on their backs, who are like gliders holding a rock in their hands. And it's like, that's my unit.
That'll do.
That'll do.
I'll do, pig. Maybe take 1 to do something. You could put them behind the lines, of course.
Yeah, I wouldn't take 2 units. So like, these are one of the few armies where they have access to a flying, and I'm saying that in brackets.
Well, they fly.
And you don't want 2 of them.
Like, if it was 65 points, I guess,
because what you could do is you could have 2 units of birdmen, because they're infantry, they can be supported, and they go around together 2 units.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No. I'd juice them to shoot 6 times and try to get a stand.
But they can't chase other flyers, that's the thing. If they attacked other flyers.
They could charge, chase other flyers.
No. Like,
they can't even chase cavalry.
No, because they're infantry.
Come on, man.
No, they can't. Like, if you said your...
It doesn't say that. It's just because they're awkward fires, they can be pursued by any type.
Yeah, but they are infantry. They're listed as infantry.
I'm sure they could chase other stuff. It doesn't say that it doesn't. Anyway, don't take them anyway. Certainly don't expect them to do anything in a game.
Yeah, they are massive underachievers. But there we go.
As you say, they've got lots of choice, Dogs of War. But
and then they have a collection of characters.
They have a massive collection
of characters. So we'll just go around the characters. They've got a Command 9 general, a Command 8 hero, a unique paymaster hero, who allows you to have a 15, is it pay wagon is
20,
20 points. A 20 point upgrade to give him plus one command for one turn. So turns him into a pseudo 9 character. And then they can have wizards, they can have two wizards who are Empire wizards. Use the Empire spells and have command 7. They can take a Griffin, which is Empire, and they've got this unique as a monster amount, and they have this unique pay wagon ability. So that this Dogs of War list has most in common with Empire, but is different enough.
Yeah.
Empire list of spell. Well, we'll talk about
that. It's actually exactly the same as Empire.
Yeah, exactly. We've already talked about that. They have a movement spell, so it's not an awful spell list.
No, and so you bring a magic that movement spell, pretty good.
Pretty.
And
good.
You did that. You caught the Terrorlands with that,
yes,
thing.
Exactly. So.
Because you put something around the back.
That's right.
Should have been your flyers, but they weren't there.
They've already been deaded.
Right, good. Strengths and weaknesses. I'll leave this to you, strengths and weaknesses. I'll just heckle.
Okay, so strengths. They're very toolbox. So this Dogs of War army list has something of everything, and you can, if you've got a good chosen list, you can look at the table, assess the scenery and opponent, and like, what is the best thing I've got to do this? Because remember, in Warmaster, there's no turn limit. You don't have to march forward. You can spend a turn reorganising your stuff if that's the case. That's a definite strength to the army. Most armies would have 10 entries. Dogs of War have a lot more. They've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Oh, sorry, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. They've got 12 entries, then characters as well. So they've got that variation, which is good. They have access to cavalry, they have access to heavy infantry, they have access to cannons. These are all strengths.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're they're a bit varied, like their cannons, of course, but fundamental, and they have access to flyers as well. Okay, they're not very good flyers, but
monstrous.
Yeah,
and
monstrous.
Giants,
they've got something of everything. They're very, that's a definite strength. Their weaknesses, though, is that none of it is outstanding. There's better cannons in the game. There's certainly better flyers. There's better knights.
Yeah.
Heavy infantry. I suppose heavy infantry is the only thing.
Well, the ogres.
Well, ogres and dwarves. Well, but they can't get them in the number. They can't be an army of ogres and dwarves.
Well, yeah, no. As soon as you start doing that, you've got no break left.
And their command is fair, actually, because they've got a command 9 general and they can make a command 9 hero. So, actually,
that's probably a plus.
Their command is actually better than our Empire army.
Yeah.
In just raw, ability for those characters. So, that's another strength, I would say. Weaknesses is they've got squishy infantry they have to take. You've got to find a role for this pikeman that you must have. They aren't normal infantry in the sense that they can be the second rank to the crossbowmen. So in an Empire list, your default is you've got a brigade, two brigades of crossbows backed up by halberdiers. Dogs of War can't do that because their pikemen don't form that way and they haven't got that natural fit into behind crossbowmen.
Yeah, it's hard to support them. They can't support anything.
So if you can tactically find a role for the pikemen, that's great, but I would list them actually as a weakness right now because...
No, you've just got to put them against other infantry.
But what do you do with them?
They kill the unit of Black Orcs in that tournament.
That's how I would... I mean, I would rate Dogs of War as a tier 2.
Yes, absolutely.
They're not awful. They're not tier 2.
They're just like Empire.
But they're definitely not great. Yeah, they're nothing like that. It leads me on to my why I played Dogs of War, is that they... Okay, so here's a collection point of view. If you did a Dogs of War army... Or if you did an Empire army, you probably could do a Dogs of War army very easily.
Just with 4 units of pikemen,
probably. Yeah, you could do that, and it gives you a whole other army to play with. So they are a natural, hobby expansion army.
Yeah, like Signar and Mercs.
In War Machine, exactly. You need a lot of this, you need an Empire list, so for every unit you paint of them, you're probably painting for 2 armies.
But are they different enough to make you want them play?
Yes, if you play some games with Empire, and then you could start to see, well, what defines the Empire compared to the Dogs of War, and then you would make those differences. So like, well, okay, so in my Dogs of War army, I'm going to have all the dwarves I can have, because I can't have them in an Empire list.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's how you would make that different then. And then you then you're building and painting units that are then featured in another army as well. So they're not an army. I wouldn't say they're the army to collect or start with. They're the army that you have after several armies of Warmaster, in a sense.
Yeah, you're right. When you're just building up your collection gradually, and you'll just come across the Dogs of War. Yeah. By the four pikemen.
Exactly, and they are really open for modelling opportunities. I mean, your Tusker can be wherever you want it to be. Really, yeah. Like, and your marauders and swordsmen can be whatever infantry you want them to be on the table.
Put them as elves.
It's a hobby project. Is why play them.
Okay.
Other things. Why play them? They're quite. Yeah, they've got unique stuff in there that nobody else does. And if you want to have that like Empire, if you want to have that army that can do something of everything. You know, the Empire doesn't have a monster, but it does have a weird steam tank. You know, like, a lot of why you would play Empire is why you would play Dogs of War.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you can get those, back to the cannons, you get those Gallop guns onto a hill, that's probably the best place for them. Yeah. If you get a central location on a hill, you could probably protect them well enough. As you did against this Cauldron Charge in the Triwiz.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But putting them on the open, they're going to get ruined.
Yeah.
So we're probably going to skip the emails till next week, because we've nearly done an hour already.
Okay.
So we'll talk about future events. We've got Bunker Warmaster 2, which is going to be...
July 2nd.
And you've got a new event, Paul.
I do, and I can advertise it. So, our sponsors, basically, KR, want me to run an event at the Derby War Games, World War Games 2016, which is in the first weekend of October. So that is the 1st and 2nd of October. Let me just check.
Yeah, that's right. No, because it's my daughter's birthday.
So, there's going to be a Warmaster, a two-day Warmaster event.
The Warmaster UK Nationals.
Let's call it the UK Nationals for now, and that proper name will probably stick. But what it's going to be is a two-day event of Warmaster, the only two-day event now, I think, there is of Warmaster currently. It's going to be 16 players, I aim it at. Four games over 2 days.
But if it goes more than 16, you can do five games.
Theoretically. Yeah. I've never been to this Derby War Games show. The reason it's in Derby is the guy who runs KR is from Derby.
Okay, fair enough.
Got to have a reason. And they want the Derby War Games show to be the salute of the North.
Northern powerhouse, as we keep talking
about.
Well,
if you don't aim big, aim big, go for big. We'll see. So I'm going to advertise the tickets here. I'm going to advertise the tickets on the Facebook group for Warmaster. I'm going to advertise the tickets on the Warmer forum and on the Specialist Games forum. It'll be first come, first served. It'll be playing using our rules set. So it's the Warmaster rules with our errata, which I'm going to email them to like push out as their tournament pack.
Yeah.
That's basically it's what.
How much?
20 quid.
20 quid trophies?
Yes.
Sponsorship from KR?
Yes. So... £20 will get you four confirmed games of Warmaster over 2 days, and that will give you plenty of time to A, play your games, because I'll put it on the clock, but the clock will be extended because you'll have all morning and all afternoon to play your game.
Okay.
And obviously around your games you can go around the show, because the ticket price...
Oh, so you're giving two games Saturday, two games Sunday.
Yeah, and when you're not playing, you've got the war game, you've got the show, because your ticket is... gets you in,
right?
So you can go around this show as well.
I'll try and come up with the Saturday.
My first two games drop.
It was ruin your strength of schedule.
It was possible that it could have been over one day, etc. Like, but the prizes would have to be given on the Sunday, and I figured, well, let's make it different. Let's go for this relaxed times. You know, like long times to play your game, 2 days. And obviously, if you turn up to play. And you play your two games, you could play another casual game of Warmaster just by talking to somebody and playing them, couldn't you?
Pick up games.
Yeah. Good. Mm-hmm. Mosh pit, or whatever.
Smog pit. Yeah. Iron Arena.
So, I'm going to put that out, and that
is... good. Look at events. Five events.
So our event calendar is now five a year, and this Derby War Games show will be every year at around the same time. And they want to expand it, so who knows how big it might go. I mean, I have said to them, I can't promise you it'll be sold out, but Who knows?
They've given you 8 tables, yeah? So
yes.
16 players.
Yes.
Okay. Well, good stuff. Right. So that's our event. So go contact details. So you can contact us on the Facebook page or at thewarmaster.podcast@googlemail.com. A couple of people have contacted us, but we've run out of time this week, so we'll pick it up next week.
Yep.
I've got some music at the end that's not suitable for work or for kids. So that's just a warning. It's a bit of a throwback to a bygone era. It made me laugh playing it anyway. And that was the Warmaster Podcast episode 19 with Paul and Barry.
Yes, indeed. Hope till next time.
Okay, good night. Word, I pull the trigger long, grit my teeth, spray to every nigga's gone. Got my block sewn on my dope spot. Last thing I sweat, so suck a punk cop. Move like a king when I roll hop. You try to flex, bang, another nigga drop. You gotta deal with this, cause in the way out. Why? Cash money ain't never gonna play out. I got nothing to lose, much to gain. In my brain, I got a capitalist migraine. I gotta get paid tonight. You motherfucking right, taking my grip. Check my bitch, keep my game tight. So many hoes on my jock, think I'm a movie star. 19, I got a $50,000 car. Go to school, I ain't going for it. Kiss my ass, bust the cap on the Moet. Cause I don't wanna hear that crap. Why? I'd rather be a new jack hustler. LER Hustler.
Yo, man, you know what I'm saying? You got it going on, my man. I like how it's going down. You got the fly cloth, the girls, the jewels. Look at that ring right there. I know it's real. It's gotta be real. Man, you the flyest nigga I've seen in my life. Yo, man, I just wanna roll with you, man. How can I be damn?
What's up? You say you wanna be down east back. A motherfucker get beat down out my face. Fool, I'm the illest, bulletproof. I die harder than Bruce Willis. Got my crew in effect, I bought a new Jag. So much cash, gotta keep it in hefty bags. All I think about is T's and G's. Imagine that, me working at Mickey D's. That's a joke, cause I'm never gonna be broke. When I die, there'll be bullets and gun smoke. If you don't like my lifestyle, fuck you.
Fuck you.
I'm rolling with the new Jack crew. And I'm a hustler. H-U-S-T-L-E-R hustler. New Jack 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 hustler. Here I come, so you better break north as I stride. My gold chains glide back and forth. I care nothing about you, and that's evident. All I love is my dope and dead president. Sound crazy? Well, it isn't. The ends justify the means. That's the system. I learned that in school, then I dropped out. Hit the street, checked the grip, and now I got clout. I had nothing, and I wanted it. You had everything, and you flaunted it. Turned the needy into the greedy. With cocaine, my success came speedy. Got me twisted, jammed to a paradox. Every dollar I get, another brother drops. Maybe that's the plan, and I don't understand. Goddamn, you got me sinking in quicksand. But since I don't know, and I ain't never learned, I gotta get paid. I got money to earn with my posse out on the app. Bump my sound, crack a 40 and laugh. Cool out and watch my new Benz clean. Is this a nightmare or the American dream? So think twice if you're coming down my block. You wanna journey through hell? Well, shit gets hot. Pregnant teens, children scream. Life is weighed on the scales of a triple beam. You don't come here much, then you better not. Wrong move.
Bang!
Ambulance cut. I gotta get more money than you got. So what if some motherfucker gets shot? That's how the game is played. Another brother slain, the wound is deep. But they giving us a band-aid. My education's low, but I got long going rings like a pit bull. My heart pumps nitro. Sleep on silk, glide like a politician. My Uzi's my best friend, cold as a mortician. Lock me up, this genocidal catastrophe. There'll be another one after me, a hustle.